Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Father, thank you for blessing us to be living at such a time as this. We're going to see stuff happen, Father God, that we've only heard with our ears. May we be so filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to do what you say do and to stand fast and not to compromise our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the topic we're dealing with today is Christian lifestyle and overcoming the world. Is that all right? Christian lifestyle and overcoming the world. One of the topics that we dealt with recently was that of baptism. And you've seen a baptism today in real life. And so it's when a person comes to Jesus Christ, when they are born again, they don't ask and find out, well, what's the least that I can do? Do they? No. They try to find a way to please God with all their heart. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John 3, 22. It says here in your Bibles, 1 John 3, 22, it says, whatsoever we ask, we what, everybody? We receive of him because what? We keep his commandments and do those things that what? Are pleasing in his sight. And so we don't ask the question, oh, do I have to do that? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do the other? We don't ask those questions because we love him. Amen? And he says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Thank you for giving these young people Bibles. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. If you love me, keep my commandments. Every single relationship that's based on love, the other, especially when individuals start out, you know, and everything, and you know, my wife and I, we're of an age right now where our children are in relationships. Yeah, our children are in relationships. They're in love. You know what I'm saying? And they you know, when you're in love, you find ways to please the other person. Is that right? You don't be like, oh, man, it's her birthday or it's his birthday. Oh, man. You know, you try to find ways to please that person, and that's what we do with God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all based on what, everybody? It's all based on love. It's all based on pleasing God. I don't try to find out what I can get away with. If I find something that's going to please God, I'm going to do it. Amen? How many of you believe that? Let me see your hands. Amen. I want to please God. I want to do what he wants me to do. And I'd rather go to heaven and get to heaven and find out I didn't have to do something, but I was doing it to please him, right? Than have to get to heaven and realize that even though there was a question about it, I decided not to do it because, you know, I just didn't want to do it. And get to heaven to find out I was wrong. So it's all about pleasing God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 3, it says here, it's all based on love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not, what, everybody? Charity. And that word charity is from the Greek word agape, is where we get the word love. It's the supreme love, the spiritual love. If I have not charity or love, I am become what? A sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. And so what the Bible is actually saying, I can even belong to the right church. I can believe the right things. But without love, all goes down the drain. So we got to have love in our heart. And young people, it's all about love. It's all about pleasing God. It's all about doing what He wants us to do. Amen? And if you find something in the Word of God that He wants you to do, don't hesitate. Don't second guess it. Don't think about it. Because you love God, just do it. Is that all right? Amen. And God has called us into this world to lead the way. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John. And let's see what else the Bible says about loving Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 4. Because the reality is, you look at the Christian community today. The Christian community is divided. Are you with me, church? You have one group that is pleasing men, and another group that is pleasing God. So let's look what the Bible says. 1 John 5, 4. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world." Even what? Our faith. Our faith. And I'm looking at Brother York right here. He's one of the oldest men. He just feels good with all these young people around him. I just see him. I said, my goodness, I wish I was sitting right where he was sitting, surrounded by young people. It says here, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. So if we don't overcome the world, we're not born of God. Is that safe to say that? Because whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. That's what the Bible says. So the question is, what does it mean to overcome the world? What does it mean? Let's go a couple of chapters back into 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. But what does it mean by overcoming the world? In 1 John 2, 15 through 17, it says, "Love not the world, neither what, everybody? The things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It's clearly there. Verse 16, "For all that is in the world." Listen to this, young people. You got to get this. Read on and listen carefully. It says, "For all that is" where? "In the world," and he defines it. What is it? "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of" what, everybody? "Of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, and he that does the will of the God abides forever." Amen. When I was young, just like you, and people taught me about church, most people just shoved it down my throat. And they said, "You better do this, and you better do that." And every time you stepped out of line, they were just ready to just jump on you. All right. What I want to say to you today, I'm going to say in love. I want to say it so you can grow, so you can understand, and you can now help somebody else. It won't be very long. You're going to be adults. Some of you are adults already. You're going to have your own family, and you're going to be actually doing what many of the adults are doing today. All right? And you want to be able to have the knowledge of God in you. And so, as the Bible says, that the world, and it defines it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of what, everybody? The eyes, and what else? The pride of life. And we're gonna break these things down. Because the reality is this, that in most churches today, you can find a church where you can do anything you want to do. You realize that? Yeah. They're all over the place. There are many churches that they're not based on the Word of God. They're based upon whatever the preacher wants to do, whatever, you know, the founding fathers want to do. But we are a church, a remnant people who are based on the Word of God. We want, when people see us, hear us, when they fellowship with us, there ought to be no question about who we are. We're living in a day and age, church, young people, where it's obvious. When a person is a true Christian, it is so obvious. Amen? Because every second word and every second sentence that comes out of people's mouths today is of the world. Amen? And when we say of the world, we're talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Most churches today, all they're concerned about, as long as you come, put money in the offering, they're fine with that. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we've been preaching and talking about the true church of God, a church that does what Jesus says. Now we're going to get real deep. Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 4. Sometimes when you read the Bible hits you front and center. The Bible literally it's just like, wow. It hit me right upside the head. But God says it because he loves us. Amen? And if there's danger ahead, church, if there's something ahead that you're on the path to go right into, do you think God is going to warn you about it? Is he going to warn you? Is he going to try to get you to go a different way so you can be saved? That's what it's all about. James chapter 4, verse 4. This is what the Bible says. And James was actually one of the brothers of Jesus. And this is what he writes. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses. He says, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, isn't that deep? Now, he calls people who are friends with the world. What two words does the Bible have for them? Adulterers and adulteresses. In other words, we commit spiritual adultery when we are friends with what, everybody? The world. Is that clear? Did I say that or did the Bible say that? And does it still stand today? We're not going to say, oh, that was for the people of those days, are we? No, this Bible is still for every Christian living today. So in other words, there is no neutral ground. You got that? Either we are friends with God or we are friends of the world. And we've been studying all throughout this prophecy series is that the devil uses the world to teach and to spread all his dirty lies. Amen? And oftentimes what he will do, he will put lies in with truth. And people will just see the truth, won't see the lie, but they have accepted the lie. If I put a little drop of poison in a glass of milk and I give it to you, am I giving you a glass of milk or am I giving you poison? I'm giving you poison, isn't that right? Because the poison is more powerful than the milk, and that's exactly what the devil does. And so he tries his best, and he's using every source he can to get people led astray. Are you with me, church? We must be diligent to watch for his dirty tricks and to follow the word of God, read the word of God so that we won't be deceived. Amen? And so there are five different ways that the devil will tempt us and actually get the world into us. Amen? Five ways. And that's through our five senses. Taste, smell, sight and hearing and touch. Those five senses, that's how the devil get the world into us. You got that? And so we've got to watch what we taste, what we smell, what we touch, what we see, and what we hear. Two of those five senses is he uses the most. Who can tell me what they are? Sight and hearing. Sight and hearing. He uses those the most. And so, young people, we've got to watch what we listen to. You got that? Because he, like the saying goes, guard the avenues of the soul. How does the devil get inside of you? How does he get the world into you? Through your five senses. The two one, the ones that he uses the most is sight, what you watch, and what you listen to. You got that? Turn in the Bible to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, verse chapter 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 15. It says there, the heart of the prudent or the wise gets what, everybody? Knowledge. And the ear of the wise does what? Seeks knowledge. Again, your ears. Turn to Proverbs 23, verse 12. Proverbs 23, verse 12. And listen, you're reading Solomon. Solomon did everything under the sun. You got that? If AIDS existed in Solomon's days, he would have caught it 100 times over. The Bible says he was the wisest man, okay? Meaning that he was filled with wisdom, but much. Solomon, when he started out with God, he was filled with the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. In other words, he was knowledgeable in every single area you can think of. You came to him with any question, he was able to answer you. But he became the wisest fool that ever lived. And as a matter of fact, when you read the book of Kings, you find out that a lot of the idolatry that the children of Israel went into was because of Solomon. He led them. He built temples for his wives, for other gods. He married people like the daughter of Pharaoh, and he built temples for them. He even though he was a wise man and one of the greatest kings of Israel, he led them into sin. But he writes here because he realized he made a mistake and he doesn't want you to make the mistake that he made. He doesn't want you to try all the things he tried out to realize they were wrong. Like the saying goes, learn from the mistakes of others because you won't live long enough to make them all yourself. Amen. Proverbs 23 and verse 12. What does it say? It says, apply your heart to what, everybody? Instruction, and your ears to the words of knowledge. Okay? And one of the chief ways that the devil uses to with our hearing for young people is what today? It is music. Okay? You name me a young person that doesn't have an iPod or doesn't have some kind of iPod built into their phone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just there, and it happens over and over and over again, and we have got to think. I need these lights off, please. Thank you. And we have got to be so careful what we listen to, because the reality is this: that through the music industry today, the devil is introducing all the sensual, the corrupted, even the occult, everything perverted you can think of, he uses it through the music industry. Am I wrong or am I right? It's all there. And if some of these pictures are offensive to some of you, I apologize, but we got to let the young people see, and so that they will realize the tricks and the traps of the devil. It's there, they see it, and every single day. Young people today are spending hours and hours and hours, literally hundreds of hours in a month, in a year, listening to the stuff that corrupts their hearing. And they think, oh, because they know what is truth, that the error or this filth that they listen to does not affect them. We're going to show you how it does. Amen. It's all there throughout the music industry. These people become idols. Young people, they have posters of these individuals. They have some of these individuals on their Facebooks. I mean, it's just crazy. It's phenomenal. And this is not just happening with just young people who are in other churches. It even happens to our young people today. I know when I was growing up, I wanted to be hip. I wanted to, you know, to kind of like look cool and kind of be accepted and all that kind of stuff. But didn't realize that with that, the devil was dragging me down. And listen, God did not create you to drag you down. God did not create you to be just a low and to have all these corrupt and perverted ideas in your life. He created you to be a light to shine to other young people who don't have what you have, so you can be like a light leading them in darkness, and they can see that light and know which way to go. Can you say amen? Praise be to God. And so we have got to stand up, and we have got to let the world know that we are different. And this is just an example of some of the words that our young people listen to. Amen. And they sometimes you can't even hear the words. You can't audibly, your conscious mind is not able to actually understand the words, but your subconscious mind picks every single word up. Amen. If I was to have music blasting in this church, and if I was just to speak softly through the mic, you would not hear because of the music, but your subconscious would hear what I'm saying. Are you with me, church? And that's why even backward masking, you know, it used to be that, you know, when you had the record players and you turn them backwards, you would hear a message of it going backwards. Do you know that your mind is able to, your subconscious mind is able to understand that backward message when it goes forward? Okay? And now they've built it in to all these CDs and all these DVDs, and you don't realize what you're listening to. You think you're just listening to something simple, you know, and you got a corrupt message planted in your head. Amen? And we got to watch out for it, you know, and I mean, I have nothing against these guys. I pray that they be saved, that somebody will minister to them, that they will change their ways and mend their ways. But listen, don't go after them. When they die, don't idolize them. Don't let it be said that you went and, you know, when their sales doubled and tripled when they died, that you were one of them that bought their stuff. Amen? You're a child of God, and he has bought you for such a time as this. Is this the kind of stuff that you want our children listening to? Amen? And this stuff, this stays with you. It stays with you, and we've got to be careful. This one, the other one was just too messed up to read, but this one is one I want to read. This is the kind of stuff that they listen to. My plane touches down at 11:45. I'm coming through, want you, about to show you why I got the game from the pimps and players. You're going to feel me, baby, when I get there. I'm going to give you what you want so I can get what I need. We can get hella freaky while we smoke some weed. We don't need champagne, the gin, the juice. These niggas knows what Short Dog and Lil' Kim can do. Imagination is an understatement. Blaring through their ears. It used to be you knew what your young people listened to. Not anymore. And young parents, we must not sit idly back and just look and just pray. Sometimes we're going to have to take stuff away from them. Amen? We're responsible for them until they become of age. Amen. And if you're just praying and you're not taking steps to guide them and to find out what they're listening to. Amen? When they live in your house, they're under your rules. Praise be to God. Their property is your property. Amen. And if you want to search their room, you can search their room. You need to find out what's going on in their lives. If parents did that for those Columbine students that shut up the school, we wouldn't have that story that happened some 10 years ago. Amen. We got to really look out for our young people and do it with love. Do it because you're concerned about their soul salvation. Amen. Do it in a way that you're trying to win them and trying to redeem them by the grace of God. Praise be to God. And so all this stuff is there that we have and that we idolize, that we spend hours upon hours upon hours watching and listening to. And we have got to make a difference. God did not call us to be like the world. Amen. He called us to be like God. We are people of God, and there ought to be a difference. Back in the 1950s, these are the things that influenced children. Home, school, church, their peers, and the TV. In 1992, number one was peers. Number two was rap. Number three was TV. Number four, the home. Number five, the school. Where's the church? It just went off the radar, didn't it? Today, what is it? Three things: rap, TV, and their peers. Who's running your life, young people? Who's running your life? God, did God create you for rap, TV, and your peers? What's going to happen on the judgment day? What rap is going to save you then? Huh? Where are your friends going to be? We're warning you because God says, listen, I got eternal life for you. I got eternal happiness. I got eternal love. I got real love, not this fake love and this sweet, good-for-nothing love that people keep going around with. I got real stuff for you, reserved for you. The devil has danger ahead, and I'm warning you so you can get what I have for you and not what the devil has for you. Is that cool, young people? Amen? Praise be to God. That's why I wanted you here. All right, and when the Spirit of God really, really moves you, this is where you're going to sit every single Sabbath. Amen? Listen, listen. Follow me only as I follow Christ. Can I talk about some of your parents with love? If we came to the movies, people went to the movies, and it was a movie everybody was raving about, are you going to sit in the back? Huh? Oh, you're going to sit right where you can hear everything, see everything, feel everything, and get right there. All right? Follow people, adults, only as they follow Christ. When we come into the church, we got to come like we want to hear it, that we're interested. And when you sit at the front, it means that you want to get this. Amen? All right? There's some people, it would take hell to freeze over for them to come to the front of the church. That they just have to have this seat. But you listen, you affect other people. Other people watch you. Amen? And when you act like you're not interested, when you act like when everybody's singing and praising God and having a good time, you just sitting there reading a book, and everything else, people are watching you. And they will say, oh, you must not be interesting after all. I used to look up to, I look up to Aisha. And you know, she's not seemed to be all excited about God. So maybe, you know, it's not a deep thing to be all excited about God. They watch you. They've somebody just because of how God made you, the shape of your face, your eyes, your height, your everything, your age. There's somebody that just says, you know, just look at you. They may not necessarily like fall in love with you or nothing like that, but they just like admire you. Okay? Let them admire you for something good. Amen? That's the truth, church. That's the truth. There's too much individualism in the church today. If we are a body of Christ, we're all supposed to work together and come together. We shouldn't have to strain to do that. Amen? If we're led by the Spirit of God, we can work together and do by the grace of God what needs to be done. But what's so tragic? This is what has happened as a result of rap, TV, and peers affecting our youth. In 1920, 90% of our youth had fathers in the home. You got that? In 1960, 80% of our youth had fathers in the home. In 2001, only 30% of our youth had fathers in the home. Why is it? It's because of the values that we have adopted through what we listen to. And we don't realize what we're putting into our lives until it's too late. And we end up bringing children into this world and allow them to be infected by the mess that infected us. And the cycle gets worse and worse and worse and worse. 63% of youth that commit suicide are from what kind of homes? Fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from what kind of homes? Fatherless homes. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from what kind of home? fatherless home. Young people, be determined the kind of people that you pick in life to be your life mate. Don't just pick anybody. And listen, God will give you a chance to practice between now and the time when you're married. He will give you a chance to practice who you date. The kind of people you date is the kind of people you're going to marry. Are you with me? So don't get all deep and all into it the very first person that you seem to, quote unquote, fall in love with. All right? You need to just focus on what is going to build you, what's going to prepare you for what's ahead. Amen? But watch who you allow to come into your life. Don't become a part of this statistics. Don't bring other children into this world to become a part of this statistics. You got that? Young people, you got that? Amen. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from what kind of homes? Fatherless homes. I mean, it's crazy. 71% of all high school dropouts come from, these are facts. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth sitting in prisons who grow up with fatherless homes. 75% of juveniles in state-operated institutions grow up in fatherless homes. 82% of teenage girls who get pregnant come from fatherless homes. And this is all started with people loving the world and the things in the world. Amen? Today, instead of, we used to have commitment values, family values, work ethic values, being productive. Now, we have a faithless, individualistic, materialistic, and destructive society. You can't be friends of the world and friends of God. Can you say amen? We have got to be determined, young people, and watch what we listen to, okay? And they got all kinds of dances now for every kind of music. And people ask, well, is dancing wrong? You ever heard that question? Is there anything wrong with dancing? You know? Is dancing biblical? All right? Well, in the Bible, there are two types of dancing. Amen? And these texts you're going to have to write down. All right? And these are not going to be in the lessons that we have here. But there are two types of dances mentioned in the Bible. One that is what is towards God, and the other towards the things of the world. Amen? Exodus chapter 32, verse 19. Judges 11, verse 34. Mark 6, verse 22. 1 Samuel 30, verse 16 are examples of the wrong kind of dancing. Dancing that's filled with sensuality, dancing what that is feel that's towards worldly things, and dancing that seeks to promote self as it promotes God. You can get those texts from me afterwards. I got to move on, okay? And dances that promote God, and examples of dances that promote God and the things of God are Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20, 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 14, Psalm 149, Psalm 150 are examples of dances that honors God and that promotes the things of God. Check this out, young people. Okay, this is from the chief of police in one of the most one of the biggest cities in the United States where a lot of crime goes on, New York City, chief of police. This is what he says. He says 75% of abandoned girls were ruined after they were in nightclubs or at a dance or at a party. Abandoned girls. This is what a Catholic priest says in the same city, New York, after hearing confessionals from individuals year after year after year. He also said that 75% of girls who end up being prostitutes or having sex before marriage, they blame it on dancing, about partying, clubbing, all those things. Because what happens is all that stuff, the music and the messages of the music get into you, you end up doing things that you didn't really want to do. Am I right or wrong? And that's even without the alcohol. That's without the weed and the smoking and so forth and all those things. And a woman that ran a home, she operated a home for girls that were pregnant out of wedlock. This is actually in Los Angeles. She said that 70% of the girls that she has in her home got there. This is from the girls through. They got into a lot of the vices that got them in trouble, or got them pregnant because of dancing. Amen? And so we have got to be so clear, young people, church, that we must not get mixed up in the things of the world. If you love the things of the world, you are an enemy of God. That's what the Bible said. That's not what I said. You got that? And there's one thing that really sums it up for us, makes it plain, and that's Philippians 4:8. What book did I say? In the New Testament, kind of in the middle there, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, then you run into Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, here it is. Whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are what? Honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. So watch you listen to. Amen? And make sure it's not the things of the world. They said by the time the average person dies in America, when you add up all the hours that they've spent watching TV, okay, you add up all those hours turns into days, weeks, and months, and years. The average person watches an average of 42 hours of TV per week. And you add all that up in a lifetime, that's 17 years put together, spent watching that one-eyed monster called the TV. You got that? Who wants to throw away 17 years of your life? Imagine if you spent just 5 of those years building your life, researching, finding ways that you can improve yourself, get better jobs, and able to do more for society. Amen? And so let's be careful what we listen to and so forth. Now, let me just spend a little time on what we watch. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. God wants us to be a church that is ready, not getting ready, but ready to meet Jesus when he comes. Can you say amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says there, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a what? A glass. And the glass there is what? Is what? It's a mirror. So beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, what happens as a result? We are changed into what? The same image. You got that? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So here it's talking about something positive. When you behold something positive, you are changed into that same, what everybody? Image. The same thing is negative. So that's what we get the saying, by beholding you become changed. You are changed into the very same image as what you behold. So when you spend hours and hours in front of the TV watching it and everything else, don't sit there thinking you're immune to what's going on. Because listen, God put our brains, and in our brains there are new neurotransmitters that records everything that we watch, everything that we listen to. You got that? Let's look at this real quickly. It says your brain can process what? 30 billion bits of information per second. Per second. And has the equivalent of 6,000 miles of wiring. That's all your nerves and everything else. And houses 28 billion neurons, which communicate with each other over 1,000 miles of nerve fibers. That's your brain. And it records everything that it hears and what it listens to. What we've done here is blown this up about 1,500 times into what this is here. And every single one of these lines that you see here comes about because of what somebody has listened to. It records it in those fine lines in there. And look at this one here. This one here is thick, isn't it? That means that this person has been listening to the same thing over and over and over and over again till it's so thick that it becomes a literal physical part of your brain. It's recorded there. All right? It was one time when we were at Oakwood College, and you know Oakwood College is, oh, now Oakwood University, a place where you know, that says that heaven is there. It's beautiful. You have the best music, the best worship service, all that and all that. One time we were there on the field, and we were playing a little football, you know, and everything else, and somebody got tripped, and then you heard all the four-letter words that just came out of his mouth. And this was a theology major. Not only a theology major, he was the assistant to the religious vice president of the student body. And he just, I mean, he was ready to kill somebody just because he was tripped. The reason why is because recorded in his brain was those foul languages that he listened to over and over and over and over again, and it just came out. What goes in must come out. Okay, and we got to be careful what we listen to by the grace of God. Can you say amen? All right. And here it says you have about 28 billion neurons, nerve cells that conduct impulses. Each one processes over 1 million bits of information. You have over 100,000 miles of nerve fibers all in that brain. Information from one single neuron can travel to over 700,000 other neurons in less than 20 milliseconds. So quick. The devil knows what kind of brain you have. He wants to destroy your brain. He wants to deceive you. He wants to fool you. He wants to trick you. He wants to trip you. And he wants to trap you. Because he knows that you are made in the image of God. You got that, young people? In the image of God. And he wants to get you to start doing things, start saying things, and start behaving in certain ways that will displease God and drive you further and further away from God. And the ways that he does it is based on what you listen to and based upon what you watch. Is that clear, young people? When I was sitting where you sat, okay, come Saturday night, you know, the weekends, all that kind of stuff, and especially at school, kind of, you know, but I thank God at an early age that he's taught me what I'm teaching you. Amen? And it wasn't about what girl I can get. Amen? I learned that my body, that my brain was so complex, so intricate, so had such a genius of a network in it, and it was made in the image of God. Amen? And you're going to find, young people, that it's a whole lifetime that we face in trying to undo some of those things that were in our brains. These little things right here, all right? How are you going to undo those things? The way you undo those things is to make a decision for change. And the way that happens, as the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my, what everybody? In my heart, that I may not what? Sin against you. Okay, when you drink the wrong thing, when you listen to the wrong thing, watch the wrong thing, when you're with the wrong person doing the wrong thing, you're not just sinning against your body or sinning against the other person. You're sinning against God, the God that created you, the God that loves you, and the God that literally right now is making all kind of preparations for you to spend eternity with you. Is that all right, young people? Amen. So with the word of God, every time I read the word of God, every time I'm exposed to the word of God, I literally am able to put over these lines here of recorded information, no matter how corrupt they are, how perverted they are, I put the word of God over it, and I keep putting the word of God over it, and it gets thicker and thicker, amen, and it gets thicker and thicker until it becomes real thick, and the things that you built years ago are now overcome by the things you're doing now. Praise be to God. And it can happen. Every single one of you ought to be spending minimum of 30 minutes a day reading the word of God. If you're spending anything less, it's not enough. The things of the world will overcome you. The things you hear, the things you listen to, they're going to overcome you. Spend time in the word of God. Immerse yourself into it. Take a little notepad while you're reading the word of God. Ask questions. Make notes. Have a little dictionary beside it so you can look up words you don't understand. It may not seem to make sense at first, but if you keep on doing it and keep on doing it and keep on doing it over and over again, this thing will be your best friend. It will be your guide through life. Amen? And I challenge you. As I was telling my brother Renard, that there are three things he has to do to stay as strong as a Christian. Number one, he has to stay in the word. Number two, he has to stay in prayer. And number three, he has to witness his faith to other people, give his testimony about what God has done for him. There are too many people who think that the only way to witness is to give out a tract or give a Bible study. That's cool. But if you give a Bible study and give out a tract without that person first hearing your testimony, it's in the wrong, you're putting the cart before the horse. They need to hear what God has done for you. They need to see right before your eyes, hear your story, and let them know here was the before and here is now the after. This is how he cleaned me up. This is how he literally forgave me of my sins. These are the things I was doing before. I was lost. There was a void in my heart. But Jesus Christ came in. He filled it. And now I'm happy. I'm at peace. I enjoy what I am doing. And I am heaven bound. That ought to be your testimony. And that's what you share with individuals. And you find that you can perfect your testimony. You'll be able to say it in literally 3 minutes or even 1 minute if somebody's in a hurry. You can give them just in 60 seconds what God has done in your life. And that person literally will be so amazed. They'll want to know more. And if they're not able to get it from you, guess what? They will get it from somebody else. Don't think that the first thing you got to share, you know, the commandments twice removed. Don't let that be the first witness that people hear about you. They don't know anything about you, and that's the first thing you're putting in their face. Let's share our testimonies. But the reality is many of us don't have a testimony. We've literally just become another member warming another pew. Has God transformed you? Has he cleaned you up? Has he made a difference in your life? That's what you need to tell somebody. If you don't have that kind of testimony, get on your knees, surrender yourself to God, ask him to forgive yourself of your sins, ask him to take away all the pride out of your heart, humble yourself, and then you will see the transforming grace of God in your life. And listen, you won't be able to keep quiet about it. Amen. That's what it's all about, young people, by the grace of God. Okay? And again, this is it all blown up here. You want this right here to represent good habits, to represent things you do over and over again for the glory of God. You don't want this stuff here to be the things of the world. Amen? It's like this next slide here. You know, when we're watching TV, especially prime time TV, okay, As a matter of fact, when you look at the NBC, ABC, CBS, I have not found anything on primetime TV that's to the glory of God. Are you with me? Okay? If you love the things of the world, you are an enemy of God. And that's not why he created you. Come on and say amen. And this is what our young people watch day and after day after day after day after day after day after day. I told my wife, if I had to do all over again, none of those Disney movies and cartoons and all that kind of stuff would ever be in my house. Because that's how it starts out. And sometimes we actually use the TV to babysit our children. And they get so glued, and they ain't going to do anything wrong because they're just glued to it. And the devil is planning for their lives because he knows as soon as they go from 3 and 4, they're going to become 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. And then they're going to watch things for that age group. Then they're going to watch things for the preteen age group. And every preteen want to end up as a teen. Come on and say amen. And so they don't watch just the preteen stuff. They watch the teenager stuff. And every teenager wants to be a young adult. So they end up watching the young adult stuff. And you have kids, literally kids, preteens watching R-rated movies. Amen? And it used to be, you know, it used to be where every single church in America, up until about the 1950s, up until the 1950s, you go into every Christian church, they will tell you that going to the movies is not a good thing. That you're not doing it to the glory of God. It's of the things of the world. Every single denomination. They don't do it anymore. As a matter of fact, one pastor says, man, if I preach what you preach, I won't have a church. But thank God there's a remnant. Can you say amen? There is a remnant. And I don't care how few we get. I don't care how few the faithful are. I'm going to still preach because God promised there will be a remnant. Praise be to God. We're going to follow God and God only. Amen. And if you got things in your house that are the things of the world, you need to bag those things, break it so nobody else can go through the garbage and get it, and throw it away, and start developing in your life the things of God by the grace of God. He created you because he loves you and he wants for you. Can you say amen? The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of the Father abides for what, everybody? Abides forever.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.